You guys can be seated. You guys can be seated. All right. Brother Daniel's going to put a QR on the screen, a QR code on the screen. And this is for tomorrow. Man, that music got me excited about the Christmas concert on Saturday night at Albany Park. And I'm very happy you all will be able to participate in that performance on Saturday night. But for those of you that are not participating in any of the musical groups, we do want to get you guys involved to be a part of that special event in some way, shape, or form. The music's important, but obviously the most important thing is the message and getting people there and giving people a wonderful experience while they're there outside of the music, which we already know is going to be good. So for those of you that are planning on attending the concert on Saturday night but are not in a musical group, if you would scan the QR code, and this is for staff, even for staff that are planning on attending as well, if you're a staff member, you say, hey, I'd love to come see the college and support them and participate in that event. We're encouraging staff as well. If you want to sign up for a certain area, we're going to need greeters. We're going to need parking lot attendants for both parking lots, some cross guards. We're going to need folks that are helping with the nurseries. We're going to have childcare up to 5 years old. So we're going to have nurseries for 0 to 3 years old and then classes for kids that are 4 and 5 years old. So if you could just scan that QR code and then just pick an area that you would like to get involved in. We're going to distribute cocoa and cookies after the service and need ushers to distribute gifts during the service. So there's multitudes of jobs that you can be involved in. But if you would scan that QR code, just type in your name and just tap what area you'd like to serve in. And then we'll follow that up with some specific instructions for you in that particular area to your student email before Saturday morning. You guys would turn your Bibles to two places, Philippians chapter number 4. And if you guys would also turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And, I've been talking to the Lord about what He wanted me to share with you all in chapel. And this is just a subject matter that is really near and dear to my heart that I know that there is many students here. Some of you people that live with you, people that maybe some of your closest friends might not know that this is an eternal battle, internal battle in your heart and mind. But the subject matter I want to talk to you guys on is the subject of fear and anxiety. And it's something that I'm sure in a room of this size, there's many folks that battle with this on a consistent basis. And I hope that today we get some help from the scriptures. But the Bible tells us over 100 times God gives us the command. In some way, shape, or form, He says either fear not or be not afraid. God repeats it so much because He knows that our hearts are prone to fear. He knows that anxiety will riddle our lives and it really can affect our day-to-day life. It can affect our relationship. It can affect our effectiveness in ministry. And today I want to go through and just remind you that the Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 41, verse number 10, the Bible says, fear not, for I am with thee. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 5, verse number 36, be not afraid, when He's raising the young girl and talking to her family members that are dealing with a troubled season of their life where a young girl has just died. And God says, and Jesus says to them, be not afraid, only believe. And that's a great reminder to us, but the Bible also says in Luke chapter number 2, the angels say, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And this sets a tone that God never commands something that He will not empower us to obey. And I want you guys to turn your Bibles over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7. This is a very famous verse of Scripture. But God commands us here and tells Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy, a man who is prone to fear and anxiety, a man who it's going to affect his ministry if he doesn't deal with it. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1, Paul says to Timothy here, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, what this verse just clearly tells us is that fear that you experience in your heart and your minds, that those emotions that you're feeling, they do not come from God. And we need to understand that. God does not bring fear into our lives. That's something that the devil brings in. That's a spirit that is based off our emotions and based off satanic influences. It is not based from God. But the Bible tells us that rather God gives us power and of love and of a sound mind. God gives the believers, when God talks about he gives you power, it talks about giving you spiritual strength. And in Psalms chapter number 27, verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You know, the Bible says that he gives us love, and the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fear. The Bible says that perfect love casteth out fear in 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 18. And if we really understand sometimes how much God loves us and how much God cares for us, Jesus made it very clear in Matthew chapter number 6, talking about how God clothes the field and feeds the birds, how much more than he will take care of his children. And if we really understand that parent-child relationship between us and the Lord, and know that God loves us, and know that God cares about us, and based off the book of Job, God will never allow anything in our life in which he doesn't already have control over. Yes, he gave Satan rule over Job's life. But everything that happened in Job's life was because God allowed it to happen. And everything that happens in our lives is because God allows it to happen. If we understand that God loves us and wants the best for us, that perfect love will cast out fear. Then the last thing God gives us is a sound mind. And that's a disciplined, settled, stable mind. We don't have to be, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And sometimes when those thoughts of fear enter your life, you act on them and you think things that are irrational, that are things that are against what God's word says. And God says that he gives us a settled, stable mind. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 26, verse number 3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And as you think about that verse in Isaiah, I want you guys to turn over to Philippians chapter number 4. And I really just want to go through this chapter of Scripture as Paul's talking to these new Christians, these early Christians, early European Christians that are being challenged with their faith and have a lot of fear in staying and going through and speaking to them. I want to go through here where he gives us a roadmap to navigate fear and anxiety in our lives. And really, we can read through books and we can talk to people, but there's no more better cure for fear and anxiety than the Word of God. And we need to look at the Scripture because God does never command us something without giving us instructions on what he wants us to do about it. And I want you guys to look here in Philippians chapter number 4. We're just going to go verse by verse over the next few minutes this morning on just a roadmap to help you navigate through fear and anxiety throughout your life. I want you guys to look here at verse number 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Joy is the anchor, and that anchor is in the Lord. And what we have to understand is that our joy needs to come from the Lord and not from circumstances. Because oftentimes fear in our life comes that robs our joy because we're so anchored in our circumstances and our experiences rather than anchored in the Lord. And in verse number 5, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Moderation there is talking about a gentle patience, gracious steadiness, and a spiritual calmness. And God wants us to show or display that moderation, that spiritual calmness, and wants it known to all men. Means being the same person. Showing your moderation to all men It means being the same person in stress as in peace. But oftentimes when that fear and anxiety goes over, it's like we change into a different person. God says, I want you could be the same all the time. But I want you guys to look here at verse number 6. And this is probably, if you read any verse on fear, they'll probably direct you here. But I want to give you guys some specific instructions here from verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful, be anxious for nothing. And how are we supposed to do that? How can I be anxious? How can I not be anxious about anything? God gives us specific instruction here. God gives us three different things here. It talks about, he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What God is saying there, first he talks about prayer. Because oftentimes when we're fearful, we think, well, what about this? And what about me? And we think about all these internal things. And fear and anxiety can cause you to be very inward thinking. You think about yourself, or how is this going to turn out for me? Or how is this situation going to happen for me? And what if this? And what if that? And what am I supposed to do? And you think so much inwardly that when the Bible talks about prayer here, it's getting your attention off of yourself and getting your attention on the Lord. That's why the Bible talked about there in Isaiah chapter number 26, it says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, when you are in prayer, and when it talks about prayer, it just talks about just general petitions to God, but it's talking about general prayer and talking about getting the focus off of yourself and onto the God of the universe. And really, when God, and we look at our life and the grand scheme of things, when we put our focus on the bigness of God and on God himself, it minimizes that fear inside of our lives. But he says, it takes it one step farther. He says, I don't just want you to just focus on God, but I want you to bring your request to him. And that's why the Bible says not just for a moment. When you have those moments where just you're fearful and anxious and you feel like you can't get through the day, God says, just slow down, take the focus off of yourself, and put your focus on me. But it's hard to do that sometimes because when you're fearful, you just want to, your anxiety just wants to figure out the situation. Well, what if this? You're working out every worst case scenario in your mind that it's hard for you to focus on the Lord. But God's saying, okay, first off, I want you to just stop focusing on all that. Every single scenario you could try to think through in your own mind, and I want you to put the focus on me. That's number one. He said number two, it said with supplication, which is specific requests. After you slow down and stop thinking through every what-if scenario, you should just take your focus on God. And then the second thing God tells you to do is God's telling you, hey, give it over to me. Give me that specific request. Whatever is causing you to be fearful, why don't you just hand that over to me? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God wants you to hand it over to him. The Bible says this in Psalms chapter number 55, verse number 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. God says, you got a burden, you got something that's caused you to be fearful, you got something that you can't figure out in your own mind, I want you to hand it over to me. But that's the issue. Some of us just hang on to it. And we get more and more anxious. We go through this cycle of fear and getting more anxious because we feel like if we can figure it out in our own minds, our fears are going to go away. And God's saying, no, the opposite is stop thinking about it and handing it over to me. But oftentimes we want to control situations. Saying, if I can't figure this thing out, if this thing is causing me fear and anxiety and I can't figure it out, then I need to figure it out. I need to solve this problem. And God's saying, no, hand it over to me. But we want to be in control. And sometimes the most people that are the biggest control freaks are the most anxious people you'll meet because they want to be in control. And God's saying, no, just take your focus off of yourself, onto me, and I just need you to give it over to me. And if you're fearful and anxious this morning, get the focus back on the Lord. and say, Lord, here's my situation. I'm going to leave it with you. And you might have to leave it with him a couple times because you want to go back to it. But you want to leave it with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just putting this in your hands. Giving up control and letting God take care of that. And then the last thing God says is with all this, do it with thanksgiving. Do it with thanksgiving. With thankfulness, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Why thanksgiving? Because I think that the thanksgiving here does two things. I heard some people say, well, you can't be fearful and thankful at the same time. Sure. But what thankfulness does two things for me. Number one, when I'm thankful, I could say, God, thank you for my family. God, thank you for my wife. God, thank you for my children. God, thank you for all the blessings that you've given me in my life. I can't thank God very long without realizing, man, God's taking care of me so far. But when you're fearful and anxious, it's almost like you are imagining a future in which God does not exist. And when we have thankfulness in our life, and when you're praying, sometimes we get so caught up in, God, I need this, God, I need that, that we forget to thank the Lord for what he's done for us in our life. And when we have a spirit of thanksgiving, especially when we go before the Lord in prayer and just thank God for the things that he's given us, it's not hard to say, well, wait, God's gotten me this far. God, I have been through so many situations that I'm fearful about, and God's helped me through it. And looking back, it's like, man, that was nothing for God. But when you're thankful in those situations, when you put the focus on God, when you hand your problem over to him, and when you're thankful, you're saying, do you know what? God has already done this. I love what Brother Rob said last night in church. God has never failed anybody. Man, I had that right down right away when he said that. God, if God has failed you, you'll be the first person God has ever failed. But I know that just looking back and seeing how God has already brought you to this point, then you can know that God could be trusted. God can be trusted. If God has figured out a way to get you to Hiles Anderson, he's going to help you through the fear and the anxiety to help you navigate whatever situation to get you to the other side. And in the future, in your future ministry, if God has brought you there, he'll see you the rest of the way. And when we're thankful, we can look back and say, do you know what? God has already done it before. He's going to do it again. And that trust in the Lord just eliminate those fears. The Bible says that as a result of that, we can look at verse number 7. The result of keeping our focus on God and not on the fear, handing those fear and anxiety over to him, and in whatever situation you're dealing with, and having a thankful heart and reminding ourselves that God has done it before and he'll do it again. The Bible says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. It's something that to the world is not going to make sense. But to God's child, it makes perfect sense. It says that it will guard your heart, your emotions, and your mind, your thoughts. And God will do that if we make a practice of it. And how do we continue on? You say, well, you know, I give it over to God, but man, these thoughts come through my head all the time. I get anxious thoughts all the time. If you know, you can't control. You know, they say that you can't control the birds that fly over your head, but you can control what birds make a nest on your head. And oftentimes, and when we have fearful thoughts, those fearful thoughts can fly over our heads, but oftentimes we allow those fearful thoughts to make a nest on our head. And we just dwell on them. And it just eats up your day. You go to bed thinking about it, you wake up thinking about it. What God tells us here is God gives us a little bit more explanation after he talks about this peace that comes in our lives. He said, finally, we brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. And really, why God gives us, lists those things, what's true, what's honest, what's pure, what's just, what's lovely, and what's a good report, we can use those things to help filter our fearful thoughts. So when you have a fearful thought this morning, the first question that you should ask yourself is this true? And if the answer is no, then it's easy to push that thought aside and say, do you know what? I don't need to be thinking about this. Is this honest? Is this pure? Is this a lovely thought? And if the answer is no, it's time to let it go by. Last one, it says, is it a good report? Sometimes we have some crazy thoughts, some fearful thoughts, and we internalize all of it, and we say, would I share this with my roommate? Would I share this thought with my roommate? And if the answer is no, it's time to move on. It's not a good report. And we can use those things and just say, use those things as a checklist to say, do you know what? Is this thought, is this fearful thought something I need to dwell on? And if the answer is no, you just need to move on. It's not something to think about. But we can ask ourselves, does this thought line up with God's truth or my fears? Is this against God's word? And if it's not, then we need to lay it aside. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 5, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And we need to control our thoughts because our thoughts affect our emotions and our emotions affect our actions. And you need to say, do you know what? I need to bring this thought into captivity. I need to lock this thing down and lock it away because it's going to change my thinking. It's going to change my actions. You know, as you look down, look at verse number 11. This is how Paul got victory over it. Paul says that Paul learned contentment not by self-help, but through Christ's strength. He says in verse number 11, I've learned in that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He says in verse number 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. He says, whatever situation I'm in, good or bad, I'm going to be content in the situation. And that's so oftentimes why we're fearful about future situations, because we say, I don't know if I would be content if God put this into my life. But Paul's saying, whether I'm in prison or I'm free, I'm going to be content. Whether I'm hungry or I'm thirsty or I'm full, I'm going to be okay. Because in whatever state I am, I'm going to be content. And if we can honestly tell the Lord, Lord, whatever situation you put in my life, I'm deciding today that I'm going to be content with what you put in front of me. It caused us to be less fearful about the future. And Paul finishes off by saying this in verse number 13. You know, you'll have athletes write this down when they're ready to play a championship game, right? Or, you know, this is their life verse. People hang it on everything on this verse. It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But if you read what Paul's saying here, is Paul saying, I know how to be abased, that I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That verse is not just for the people that are saying, well, I'm going to win the championship so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, it's for the good times and the bad times. I can get through the good times because Christ will give me the spiritual strength. And I can get through the bad times because Christ will get me through the bad times as well, and he'll give me the strength to get through it. Guys, listen, the Bible tells us a lot about fear. God knows that we're going to battle with it. And for some of you, it's something that might even control your life. Every decision you make is based off fear. It just controls your life. You can't walk through the halls of the college without just being a ball of anxiety that just wants to lock yourself in your room. But let me just remind you that you can fear not. God commanded it. Remember that fear is not from God. God gave you spiritual strength. God loves you, and God gave you a sound mind. We should rejoice in Christ and not in our circumstances. We need to let our moderation show and stay steady because the Lord is near. both in our lives and soon returning. We should pray and turn our focus to God. We should supplicate and hand our request over to God, and we should be thankful for everything that God has done in our lives to remind us that He's going to do it again in our future. We need to think biblically and filter our thoughts through the Word of God. And then we need to be content, knowing that whether it's a bad situation, whether you got your school bill paid and you got money in the bank, or you're completely broke and just scraping by, throughout both situations, God's going to give you the strength to get through it, and you can trust in Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing each and every person here to chapel this morning. And Lord, I know that there's some that could be fearful this morning, Lord, and just dealing with a lot of fear and anxiety in their own life, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that they come to the altar today, Lord, and just lay it down at your feet. And Lord, I pray that you, Lord, use the Word of God today to help somebody, Lord, and to give them hope and to help them through today and tomorrow and the rest of their lives, Lord, knowing that you could be trusted and you'll care for them. In your name we pray, amen.